We're turning to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We'll read the chapter together. 1 John, the chapter number 1. And we'll begin our reading at the opening verse. Let's hear God's word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Amen. And we'll end our reading at the end of the verse number 10. Let's unite in prayer with the word of God before us open this evening. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for the central act of this worship service. We meet around the open book. We rejoice, O God, in its preservation. We thank thee, O God, for a more sure word of prophecy given to us. Thank thee that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. O God, we thank thee that this is thy word, the word of the living God. And as thy word is preached, we pray that thou wilt mix it with faith, that might bring profit to the soul, the individual here tonight out of Christ. Lord, that it might bring profit even to thy saints. As we consider, O God, this great subject matter once again, grant, dear God, the blood to stand in solitary splendor. Grant, dear God, much to be made of the crucified one. Grant, dear God, men and women to be turned to thee. And may tonight, this night, be the night that their sins are washed away. Answer prayer. Glorify thy Son. Fill me with thy Spirit. For I pray these, my petitions and prayers, in and through the Savior's precious name. Amen and amen. The hymns that we sang tonight in this gospel service were not sung because of the rhythm or with the lyrics that they have been set to. The hymns were chosen because of a uniting theme, a common thread, a repetitive subject matter, namely the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today in many evangelical circles and in many evangelical churches, the blood is missing. There's no mention of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In such places there is bloodless praying. And yet according to Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 19, we read that God's people have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It is on the grounds of Christ's redemptive blood that we have access into God's presence by prayer. There's not only bloodless praying, but there's bloodless praising. And yet according to the book of the Revelation chapter 5 and the verse 9, heaven and in heaven they sing a song, a new song that has the blood of Jesus Christ as its dominating theme. We read there, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Bloodless praying, bloodless praising, bloodless preaching. And yet according to Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 20, it is only by the blood of Jesus that a sinner can be at peace with God and can be reconciled to God. Because I read there in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Even some Bible pews in so-called evangelical churches have erased references to the blood of Jesus Christ. The New International Version omits the blood of Christ there in Colossians 1, verse 14. Whereas the Authorized Version reads, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The NIV reads, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now we know that salvation was secured by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9, verse 22 informs us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The good news for modern man Bible is no better. In actual fact, it's severe in its culling of references to the blood of Jesus Christ. 14 times mention of the blood of Christ is omitted from the good news for modern man Bible. And so the pew Bible, and even the Bible that some men use in pulpits today, erases mention of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight I want to preach on this glorious subject matter of the blood of Jesus Christ. And in preaching such a message, I want to affirm our belief in the blood of Christ and what it does for every trusting sinner. So tonight I've simply entitled this gospel message, "There's Power in the Blood." There's power in the blood. Can I say in the first place that there is redeeming power in the blood of Christ? There is redeeming power in the blood of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 7, the Apostle Paul, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote these tremendous words. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Now I want you to focus on that little statement, redemption through his blood. The term redemption speaks of deliverance. It speaks to me about liberation. It speaks to me about release. Now you might ask yourself the question tonight in this gospel service, what do I as a sinner need to be delivered from? What is it that I need to be liberated from? What is it that I need to be released from this evening? Can I say there are a multiplicity of things that you need deliverance from? Can I say that every sinner in this gospel preaching house tonight, you need to be redeemed, you need to be delivered, you need to be released from your sin. You need to be released from sin's penalty, death. You need to be released from sin's pollution, a pollution that extends to every single faculty of your being, from your mind to your soul to your heart. You need to be delivered from sin's power, from sin's dominion, and you need to be released from sin's presence. Not only that, but you need deliverance from the law. You see, by our actions, we have willfully broken God's law. And thereby, as a result, we find ourselves under the law's curse. And we find ourselves under the law's condemnation. We are condemned. The Bible says that we are condemned already. That condemnation rests upon us because we have violated, transgressed God's holy law. And it is from that law that we need to be delivered from, rescued from, released from. Not only that, but we need deliverance from Satan, Satan's power, Satan's dominion. We come into this world not as children of God, but we come into this world as children of wrath. Children of disobedience. We're born under the power and the reign of sin and under the governance of the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And from his control, his reign, his dominion, we need to be liberated. We need to be set free. Now, according to the word of God, there is only one way. Only one way that such deliverance can be accomplished. Only one way by which release, liberation, redemption can be secured. And that is through the death and the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's the means by which redemption, that's the means by which deliverance is secured. That's the price that needed to be paid in order to deliver me from sin and from the law's condemnation and from the law's curse and from the power of darkness to deliver me and to bring me out of that kingdom and translate me into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It is only the blood of Christ that can redeem us from such things. Can I say that self-reformation on your part cannot secure your redemption from the aforementioned things? Your church attendance cannot secure redemption from those aforementioned things. Your morality, your charitable living cannot secure redemption from these things. Adherence to the rites and to the rituals of whatever church you put your adherence to, or where you go on a Sunday morning, none of these things, the adherence to the rites and the rituals of some earthly body, the church, cannot secure your redemption from these things. Penance, pilgrimages, whatever else you care to think of this evening, cannot secure your redemption from these things. Nothing but the blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood of Christ can redeem us from sin and from Satan and from the law. It required the blood of incarnate God to redeem perishing sinners. If ever there was an immense price for our redemption, if ever there was to be an infinite price for the redemption of the sinner, it was this price. Crimson blood. Precious blood. Royal, ruby, redeeming blood. Sinless blood pouring forth from Emmanuel's veins was the price that was paid for my redemption and for your redemption. A lesser payment could not, and a lesser payment would not see to any sinner's release. It had to be the blood, because it was stipulated by God that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. I tell you, sinner, the debt that you owe to God is of infinite magnitude. And because it is of infinite magnitude, it demands an infinite equivalent to pay the debt of your sin. What is that price? What is the price paid? What was it that bought us out of the slave market of our sin? What was the price that was paid to set us free and to liberate us? How is the bondage of sin to be broken? How is the price paid? Well, it's very clear that someone has to die. Someone has to die. Someone has to shed their blood in order that our redemption is secured. And Christ was the one who died and who shed his precious blood for our redemption. Now here you are tonight. You're in this house. Here you are this evening. A condemned sinner. The soul is stained by sin. You're under the law's condemnation. The law demands your death. The soul that sinneth it shall die. Here you are as a captive of the devil. Would you not want to seek deliverance from such things tonight? Thank God tonight, through the blood of Christ you can. Because when the sinner comes to trust in the sacrifice, when he comes to trust in the redeeming blood of Christ, sin's stain is eradicated. The charges against the sinner are answered from an avenging law. The power of the devil is broken, and the sinner is set free because there's redeeming power in Christ's blood. In the second place, there is atoning power in the blood of Christ. There's atoning power in the blood of Christ. In Leviticus 17 and the verse 11, we read, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." The word atonement simply means to cover. It is the covering. And the blood of Christ is that which covers our sin. The blood of Christ is that which causes our sin to be hidden from God, to be indiscernible, to be removed, our sins removed as far as the east is from the west. The eye of God, as it were, he looks upon the blood, and the blood answers for the sinner. The blood answers for the crimes and the offenses that one has done. Therefore, when a person has their sins covered by the blood, as it were, that person is reconciled to God, because that word atonement has the thought behind it of a reconciliation. Aye, sinner, did you know this evening? Did you know tonight that a great injury has been done to God because of your sin? And that the only way that God and sinners can be made at one mint, at one with each another, is by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ alone atones for sin. It is the blood that meets the divine requirements. It is the blood that honors the divine law. It is the blood that has laid the foundation upon which holy God and sinful man can meet and be reconciled. Stern justice, sinner. Stern justice demanded the death of you, the transgressor. But the blood of Christ has made an atonement for the sinning soul. On what ground, sinner, can a holy God meet an unholy sinner? The only grounds upon which they can meet is the grounds of the blood atonement, where one of suitable worth and one of suitable standing before God has died and shed his precious blood, and thereby is able to reconcile God to man and man to God. Sinner, because of your sin tonight, you're found in a place of separation from God. From a human viewpoint, I speak from a human viewpoint, there is an unsurpassable chasm and gulf that is opened up between you and your God. Your sin is so offensive to God that he cannot even look upon you tonight with any kind of pleasure. The only way, sinner, that you can come into harmonious agreement with God is by and through the blood of Jesus Christ, because it is the blood that deals with the very thing that has opened up that chasm, the very reason for that gulf that exists between you and God. It is the blood that deals with your sin. The blood of Christ puts your and my sins away. As sin is put away by the blood of Jesus Christ, reconciliation is possible. And so, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ in this house tonight, I pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. How can I be reconciled? How can I be at one with God? It is by trusting in the sacrifice of Christ. It is in trusting in the atoning blood of the Redeemer. It is by coming and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, having repented of your sin. So let me ask you tonight, are you trusting in the atoning blood of Christ to reconcile you to God. In the words of Romans 5, verse 11, have you now received the atonement? Have you received the atonement? Well, this evening you trust in the blood sacrifice that reconciles you to God. I tell you, there's power in Christ's blood to make atonement for the sinner's sin, to make atonement for your sin. Thirdly, there is cleansing power in the blood of Christ. Cleansing power in the blood of Christ. We've sang it throughout our hymns this evening. Sin destroying, sin cleansing power in the precious blood of Christ. I say this evening, sin deeply stains the soul. Your sin deeply stains your soul. The prophet Isaiah uses the colors scarlet and crimson to denote the depth of the stain that sin causes within. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, this is what Isaiah says in Isaiah 1 verse 18. Nothing that we can do can erase the stain of sin. The waters of baptism cannot erase sin stain. Neither can communion wine from the communion cup, our tears of remorse and regret because of our sin are incapable of eradicating sin. Sorrow, however great it may be, cannot cleanse away our sins. Did not Esau seek a place of repentance with tears? And yet he found it not. Our tears of repentance do not wash away sin. The only cleansing agent for sin, the only cleansing agent that can take away the defilement of our sin, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that 1 John was written, chapter 1 was written for God's people. But is it not as much true for the ungodly that there's power to cleanse away sin? 1 John 1, 7 informs us that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I, sinner, and well, you know the defilement of your sin. You feel its guilt, do you not? You know its disgrace. You experience its shame on a daily basis. I tell you, what I've been speaking about tonight is the only remedy for those things. To eradicate its guilt, to take away its disgrace, or to put an end to the shame of sin, only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from sin and to make you clean. Sinner, I do not know where you have been in your past. I don't know what you've done in your past. Really, it's none of my business. You may have broken every commandment in this book. Sinner, you may have sinned against light and against knowledge. You may have despised a mother's tears and rejected a father's warnings. You may have ran after sin, even up to this moment of time and life. You may have turned your back entirely on God, on His word, on His house, on His day, on His ministers. That may all be so. Let me ask you tonight, do you feel your sin? Do you feel your sin? Are you sick of your sin? Do you feel its defilement within? Do you feel its guilt and its shame? Are you aware of what your sin will do to you? How it will take you from this privileged position of where you are tonight, hearing the gospel in a gospel preaching land, and will take you into the very depths of hell itself, where you'll be lost for all of God's great eternity. Are you weary of your sin? Are you tired of the burden of your sin? Then come to Christ and come just as you are For his blood can make you clean. Those scarlet sins of yours, those red crimes of yours can be all dealt with by the precious blood of Christ. So what am I to do, preacher? You're to do what Isaiah tells you to do, or what God tells you to do through the prophet Isaiah. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come and meet me. Let's speak about this very matter. Let's deal with the issue that is the real issue at hand. Let's deal with your sin. Let's deal with your transgressions. And I will make those scarlet sins as white as snow. And I will make those crimson red sins just like wool. J.C. Ryle put it like this: come to the blood of Christ. Wash and be clean. Come with all your sins to Christ and cast them on him. He'll bear them away. He'll cleanse them. He'll pardon. Only believe and be saved. Will you do that? And so, thank God there's cleansing power in his blood. But as we think continually about the power that is in the blood of Christ, I want you to notice that there is pacifying power in the blood of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, I've mentioned it before here this evening. Colossians chapter 1, and what Paul says there, the chapter 1, the verse number 20, Paul declares, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." The thought of making peace and the need for the making of peace between God and man indicates to me that peace does not naturally exist between these two parties. And we find that to be so as we read through God's word. You see, as I read through the scriptures, I find that man is on a war footing with God. Man is on a war footing with God. It is not simply that man dislikes God. It is that man hates God. Naturally, man opposes God. There is a rebel in every sinner. And that rebel is against God. The Bible speaks of enmity existing between the sinner and God that results in the sinner hating everything about God, his law, his day, his word, his preachers, his gospel. Sinners hate it. They despise it. They reject it. They mock it. They scorn it. They know nothing of love for God. There is great hatred in the heart of every sinner. Now, how then can a hating sinner love God? How then can a holy God be reconciled to a sinful man? How is that possible? It's possible in the gospel, in the wisdom of God. God, through the cross, has put all enmity away. Through the blood of his cross, Christ has secured peace. He has not set aside justice. Of course he hasn't. That must be upheld. Upheld to its infinite degree. God upholds his justice. But yet, the wonder of it all is that God reconciles a sinner to God because one has lived and died and rose again for the sinner. The only way that this peace can be made, this compact between God and man, is through the blood of his cross. Through the blood of his cross. That's it. Sinners may and can enjoy peace. Peace with God. What a prize to hold out to you, the sinner. You who are under his condemnation this evening. You who are under his condemnation, under his curse. Tonight you can be at peace with God. It's all possible because of what he has done for us and on the cross of Calvary. James Smith put it this way: peace can only be obtained at the cross. There the ransom price was paid. There the demands of justice were fully met. There mercy and peace met together. Righteousness and truth embraced or kissed each another. There God can be just and yet justify the sinner. There God can maintain his authority and yet receive as his bosom friend his bitterest foe. What a wonder. What a wonder there is in the gospel. All that creates and all that enhances the hostility between God and man is subdued by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, sinner, tonight, are you aware this evening that your sin, your personal sin, the sin that you committed this week, the sin that you committed this day, that sin makes it impossible for God to be at peace with you tonight. How can holy God, how can he be at peace with you, his creature, who is so unholy? Peace is impossible if you continue in your sin. But if that sin is turned from, repented of, subdued by precious blood, then you can be at peace with God. God, in his own Son, appeased the wrath of God at the place called Calvary. The place called Calvary. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the cross? Have you ever come to trust in the blood of Christ? It is my prayer tonight, my prayer, the prayer of others, that you'll enter, as it were, into that peace compact with God tonight as you come to trust in the blood of his Son. I tell you, sinner, it's not on your terms. It's on his. And the terms of that peace agreement is this: a turning from sin, a repenting of it, and a trusting alone exclusively in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There's pacifying power in the blood of Christ. In the fifth place, there is preserving power in the blood of Christ. We go back to Exodus. There in the Old Testament, where this thought of preserving power in the blood is so vividly pictured for us. Remember what happened there in the land with the children of Israel, how Moses comes and speaks to them. There in the chapter number 12, God commands the children to take a lamb, a male lamb, a lamb for every house. Chapter 12, the verses 4 through 4 onwards, your lamb shall be without blemish, a spotless lamb, a male of the first year. Shall ye take it from the sheep or from the goats? And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh of the night and roast it. The reason is that God was coming. He's going to walk through the land. He's going to walk through the land. The blood shed by the lamb was to be caught, captured within a bowl. Hyssop was to be taken, the bitter herb, there taken and stricken, the blood stricken upon the doorposts and upon the lintel of the house. They were to do this because the Lord would pass through the land. He's coming in death and judgment. The judgment's coming. Every firstborn is going to be slain. Every firstborn that is not within a home that is blood marked. Only those homes marked by the blood would be passed over and the firstborn spared. And thus the blood on the outside was that which indicated to God that all sheltering inside were to be preserved from death. Such is a type, a picture of what happens in the gospel. All those who are sheltering, all those who are trusting in the blood of Christ are spared death, not physical death. We all will die. The second death, the eternal death, the death that leads to soul and body being separated eternally from God and hell. Now, while it is true that we in ourselves cannot see the blood mark, just as those inside the homes of Israel, within the Israelites, could not see the blood upon the doorpost and upon the lintel, yet though we cannot see it, thank God, God sees it. He said, when I see the blood. It matters not whether you see the blood. It's whether I see the blood. Whether my eye is to the blood. And when judgment comes, and judgment is coming, all those who know Christ, all those who have had the blood of Christ applied to the sin and to the soul will be passed over, because that blood indicates that another has suffered. Another has bled, another has died in my stead and in my room, and because of him, I am preserved. Because of him, judgment passes over, because he has been judged on my behalf. Sinner, are you sheltering under the blood of Christ? It is the blood alone that is the remedy for sin. Are your hopes of heaven, are your hopes of eternal preservation pinned, as it were, in the blood of Christ? Just as the blood was applied to the homes of the Israelites, so by an act of faith, the blood of Christ must be applied to the sin stained soul. And that occurs when the sinner repents of their sin and trusts in the great atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Are you sheltering under the blood of Christ? Something else we can say about the blood. Can I say that there's pleading power in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of Christ? Hebrews 12, verse 24 indicates that the blood of Christ has a voice. The voice of the blood. In that verse we're told that the blood of sprinkling speaketh better things than that of Abel. The voice of the blood, while the blood of Abel called for vengeance to be visited upon the wicked brother of Abel, Cain, the blood of Jesus speaks for pardon. It speaks peace on behalf of the sinner. The blood pleads for our release. The blood pleads for our redemption. The blood pleads for our reconciliation with God. The blood pleads for my acquittal. The blood pleads for my acquittal. One hymn writer said, I see the new creation rise, I hear the speaking blood. It speaks, polluted nature dies, sinks neath the cleansing flood. Let me ask you, does the blood of Christ speak for you tonight in heaven? In the words of William J. Irons, what voice is that which speaks for me? In heaven's high court for good, and from the curse has made me free, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. Just Jesus' precious blood. It has a voice. It pleads for my acquittal. I hear the accuser roar. Of ills that I have done, I know them well, thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Why? Because they've been cleansed in the blood of Christ. They've been taken out into the sea of God's forgetfulness. He has subdued my iniquities. He has cast them into the depths of the sea. He has cast them behind his back. He has sewn them up into a bag. and thrown them out into the depths of the unknown. The blood answers for me in glory. My sins. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let me ask you, sinner, is this your plea tonight? Was that not what the dear hymn writer wrote? Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you say that tonight, sinner? The blood will plead for you. His blood, his precious blood, his redeeming, cleansing, atoning blood. It'll plead for you in heaven's high court. It'll plead for your acquittal. Set them free. My blood was shed for them. They're trusting in my blood to put away their sin. Oh, the pleading power in the blood. Let me finish very quickly. A few points that are exclusively for the believer. As we think about the power in the blood of Christ, can I say that there's sanctifying power in his blood? We've been thinking about that in our morning services. That great doctrine of sanctification. Hebrews 9 verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Christ has sanctifying power. Hebrews 13, 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The purging, the sanctifying process is furthered in our lives when we bring our sins as believers to the blood of the cross. The cross is the key to our sanctification. In union now with Christ, he has died for sin. I have died in him. And as a result, his blood cleanses me from my sin. That which cleansed our sins when we first came to Christ is that which continues to cleanse our sins after we have come to Christ. As I've said, 1 John 1 verse 7, written to believers, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth, continually cleanseth us, God's people, from all sins. Thank God there's sanctifying power. Can I say that there is approaching power in the blood of the Lamb? Our approach to God in prayer is only possible because of the sacrifice of Christ. He has opened up a new and living way. He has opened up that way. It is a blood-sprinkled way. Hebrews 10, 19 and 22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. The way of entrance into God is through the blood of Jesus Christ, unfettered, unhindered, unrestricted access to God is the privilege of all who come to God via the blood-sprinkled way. That's why we plead the blood of Christ in prayer. And through the blood, I with boldness can approach his throne. And I can unburden my soul. And I can bring my cares and my concerns. And I can bring my thanks to God as I approach him to prayer. I tell you, sinner, you know nothing of this access to God, because your sin bars you from his presence. But thank God, let the blood be applied to your sin, and tonight you will have the opportunity, the privilege of access into God's presence via the blood of Christ, because there is approaching power. I come not in my merit, but in his merit. I come on his work, not my works. I approach him as the priest did, with the blood sacrifice. I approach him by faith. I enter in, and with freedom, and with access, and with with boldness I can enter in and plead with him. And he hears me for Christ's sake. He hears me for Christ's sake. One last thing. There is overcoming power in the blood of Christ. Speaking of God, the saints of God, and the devil, the accuser of the brethren, John will writes in the Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they, the saints of God, overcame him. These saints are now in glory. How did they overcome? They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They love not their lives even unto the death. As Albert Barnes put it, the virtue of the victory which Christ thus achieved, we are now able to triumph over our great foe. In virtue of the victory which Christ thus achieved, we are now able to triumph over our great foe. For the Christian, the blood of the Lamb is the all-conquering weapon. Through him and through the blood, we shall overcome. Who are these? Who are these arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? The reply comes, these are they who have washed their robes, having come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We shall overcome. We'll overcome this life. We'll overcome death's river. We'll overcome man's last enemy by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so tonight we have seen that there's redeeming, atoning, cleansing, pacifying, preserving, pleading, sanctifying, approaching, overcoming power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Sinner, may you come to know that power in your life. May the blood be applied, for there's wonder working, there's sin destroying, there's devil defeating power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And for you, the backslider, his blood can cleanse you from your sin. Just that sin of backsliding, he can cleanse you as much of that sin as he can cleanse the adulterer, the fornicator, the blasphemer, the God denier. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails for me. May the blood be held in solitary splendor. And may the Lamb receive the reward of his sufferings for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Sinner, I do not know what you have tried to use to deal with your sin. I don't know what roads you've went. I don't know what avenues you've went down in life. But I'll tell you, if you've missed the cross and if you've missed the blood of Christ, then I can assure you tonight that you're still in your sin. And you need the Savior. And you need to come to this great cleansing agent, this great cleansing that there is for you in the blood of Jesus Christ. Why not just bow your head and heart before God and cry to him and say from the depths of your soul, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am deeply stained by sin, and I need this sin stain to be cleansed and washed away. I need to be delivered, redeemed, released, emancipated. I need to be liberated. And here I am in bondage to Satan and to sin. Come, set me free. Apply the blood. Make me a Christian. Take my sin away. May I know what it is to have access to thee. May I know what it is to be at peace with God. May I know what it is to have a conscience that is at rest with God. Come into my life. Make me a Christian. I turn from my sin. And I receive thee alone as my Savior. If I can help you in any way you want to speak to me, well then make your need known at the door. May God be pleased to use his word, the saving of your soul, to the restoration of your walk with God. Our loving Father, our gracious God, our glorious Savior, we come before thee. And O God, we thank thee for the value and the victory and the virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. We recognize that the devil does not want to hear the blood exalted. But, oh, we cry to thee that in some small way, in some feeble way, by a mere individual, a mere man, the blood of Christ will have been presented, and that sinners would see that this is the only answer for my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, may tonight sinners plunge. May they plunge beneath that fountain and lose all their guilty stains. Answer prayer. Glorify Christ. Save the lost among us. We offer prayer in and through the Savior's precious name. Amen and amen.